Cthulhu presents the Call of Cthulhu campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Laffin, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
Well, we had some excitement at Lady Nichols' house where we went to attempt to recover the to save her from the shadow creature and to recover the tablets that she had in her possession. And we were able to do both. She passed out and she's not going to ever believe anything real happened, and that's all good. And as we left her house, Azar Uddin asked us for the tablets, and we agreed to destroy them in each other's presence and went our separate ways. And then there was some other stuff because... Then did time pass, or was it just sort of... We just got the news again.
That pretty much the next day or so.
Next day, okay. That Professor Punchin has been taken to Bethlehem due to a mental breakdown. And so our alienist, Roger, went to meet with him. And indeed, it does seem like some things are off with him, but perhaps more importantly, his cellmate may also have some useful information. And at Punchin's apartment, he had some magical things, as well as some notebooks that were removed from his apartment to protect him from future
borrowed
things. Borrowed, yeah. I think that the notes are pretty spotty, but I feel like that's what was a good high-level summary.
It is. It's a very good summary. There is a weird clinking noise coming off of your mic, Edwin.
Oh, that's me. Sorry about that. I'll stop clicking my dice.
Ah, well, there you go.
I'm waiting to roll something, but I don't have anything to roll.
I know.
Maybe an idea roll.
We'll see how far we go. So we had our breaking and entering, as is our wont in every chapter. I assume, Maud, that you and the excessively silent Kitty will head back to the club.
Indeed. Indeed. Take these back so that we can all take a look at them and decide how best to process them.
Awesome.
All right. And let's, for the sake of narrative interestingness, have Roger arrive back at around the same time. So you're all gathered in the club, perhaps getting a little second lunch for Roger.
Tea.
So the things you took from Punchin's house, there are four notebooks, then there is a diary.
Yes. Are the notebooks, are they all in English?
So the diary is absolutely in English. The notebooks start with neat rows of the cuneiform language you've seen so far, you know. But after a certain point, as you're flipping through towards it, you see like, oh, this is they're still there, but it doesn't. Sort of breaks down a little bit. It doesn't look as clear. And by the end of it, as you're flipping through the fourth book, the ink changes to a dark red, which you are sadly quite sure is blood.
Oh, Mr. Punchin.
And he had some of this writing engraved in himself as well.
Wonder if he was translating something.
This would be the original, right? So maybe he was copying down?
Transcribing.
Transcribing.
Do we dare trust this to our translator friend? I would hate to send him insane. He's just a graduate student.
Yes, already mostly there. Perhaps if we broke it up in with multiple people, it would be safer.
What do we know about this group? Should we... this? I mean, he seems to know a lot.
The Punchin?
No, no.
The graduate student?
No, no.
Oh, the
Children.
Yes, the Children of Tranquility.
Yes.
We know that they seem somehow to know things and not to act on them until we have acted on them.
Well, yes.
Were the books written in Latin?
Which books? There were something in Latin at his house. Something in Latin. What is the something in Latin that was at his house?
There is a... do you speak Latin?
No, I speak French. I'm just wondering if
Montgomery,
it's a book or...
Montgomery.
I do.
I do. This is a book. It's called... Et Fragmenta Sargona. It appears to be a translation of another work. And it looks like it would take you some time to sort of read through it, because it's written in Latin, but it's from, it's clearly transcribed by somebody who didn't understand the native language very well.
So it's not a published book. It's a handwritten thing.
No, it looks like a print copy. It looks like printed. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
I guess, does Montgomery want to start studying this book?
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
What was the second word after fragmenta?
It's et fragmenta sargona, S-A-R-G-O-N-A.
That's amazing. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Fragments of Sargon. Very good.
So you've got these books all sort of out there on the tables as you're talking about them. Roger, can you give me an idea roll?
I can try to.
Oh,
I make no promises.
I'm sure you can give me the roll. I don't know if you can make it.
Oh, hey, that looks pretty good. Hard success.
As you are looking at these notebooks and Maud is flipping through them, with a hard success, you realize that some portion of this language is inscribed on Puchian's body. Like, what this books are is inscribed on Puchian's body.
Okay.
To some degree. Yeah.
Sure.
This is the notebook stuff that is written on his body?
Yes.
Yeah.
The notebook that has sort of some of the language there, you know, at this point you've done enough, you put together the jigsaw puzzle of broken tablets. You've been around it enough. At some point you can't speak it, but there's enough sort of similarity of patterns, and you just look and say, yeah, some of the patterns I saw sort of peeking out of his bandages look like these patterns here.
So meaning the same language, which I think we already knew, or like the actual same text?
The actual same text.
Oh, okay. So, he run out of notebook and so obsessed he needed to transcribe it somewhere else. It's a fascinating case, this Puchian. I look forward to speaking with him again tomorrow.
And I pull out the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something on them as well?
There is nothing on them, but I need another idea roll from Roger.
Oh, good Lord. We are so in trouble here. Really? Normal success.
You know, Maud brings out these three rocks, and sort of you look at them, and you're like, yeah, there were three rocks like that back at Puccian's room as well.
In his room? Really? They let him bring rocks?
Yes, I had completely forgotten and not noticed until now.
Well, perhaps he will reveal to you what he thinks they are.
Well, perhaps I should take these to him tomorrow and ask.
Do you want to provoke him?
I believe that some sort of extreme measure must be done to get through to the man. He is quite insane.
Well, yes. I would hope so if he's carving this language into his skin. I would say that that's a bold diagnosis on your part.
Well, as a professional in such matters, I can tell you with the utmost certainty it is not normal.
I think that makes me happy.
But yes, I shall take the rocks to him and ask him. Perhaps he shall be shocked into some semblance of sanity, at least enough to speak a little bit of sense.
Is there anything on the rocks?
Yeah. I mean, these are smooth rocks, but, you know, there's nothing sort of overt, but, you know, there does seem to be some scrapings in them.
Maybe I'll make a rubbing of them, and we can take these to the graduate student.
Fair enough. Is anybody looking at the diary at all?
We will.
Presumably. I see
Oswald just sitting there. I thought.
Yeah, am I muted? No.
Okay. Yeah, I can start reading something while everyone else is talking. Can check that out.
So this is clearly he clearly is a diarist. Not surprising. This is the latest version of it. It's going to take you a little bit of time, but I'm going to just sort of say, while people are going back and forth and all this, you flip through. There are some passages that sort of leap out to you as you're looking at it. He has a diary entry. I mean, so one thing that's very clear is that as his diary goes along, if you sort of flip around, look at the first part, look towards the end, you know, do a little, you know, bouncing back and forth, he's increasingly paranoid. And he at one point talks about being followed after leaving the British Museum at night. And then give me a library use role, I guess, as a get library use or luck, I guess I'd be fine with.
Well, let's see. I think luck is just slightly better. 93 is not going to do it.
Fair enough. Towards the end of the book, it's very clear that, you know, he talks about how he believes the curse of Nineveh is real. And he writes in the very last section, last entry, only by deciphering this fabled curse and its blasphemous rituals can I save us all. The others will not listen to me, and so I must act alone. I will try tonight to enact the ritual of protection, as outlined on the scrolls. Then I shall be safe from harm and be able to free us all from the grip of Naboo.
Is that something you can paste into the notes?
With a little bit of going into the PDF and cutting into it, so I will definitely do that, though. Yep.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
We're a full-service operation here.
Well, that may explain the carving into his own flesh.
Yes. and what tripped him up. I mean, it looked like he was on a slow road to
Bedlam.
Yep, Bedlam. And then he took a rather fast exit. Perhaps that was him attempting to do this ritual.
Perhaps.
I wonder if, though, it is something that needs to be done.
Well,
the scroll. He mentioned scrolls, right? That the ritual is on some scrolls.
Yes.
Did you find any? Did you bring any?
We didn't find any. I mean, I have the keys to his house. We could go back. But I wonder if our new friends have already relieved his house of... why?
Happily go with you and look.
All right.
Is the entry about enacting the rituals as tonight... Is that dated?
Yes, it does seem to be the same night that that you read the newspaper article about him being committed.
Wait, but the same day that the article was published?
Well, the night before. It's clear okay. That whatever ended up putting him into Bedlam happened.
Okay.
This entry is the same day of when whatever happened that put him into Bedlam.
Okay. So yeah. So it's not that he went into the insane asylum before he did the ritual, presumably.
No.
He did the ritual, then went insane, and okay.
Yeah. Yep. That seems to be the sequence.
Something else I can ask him about tomorrow. Good to go in with more information.
I wonder... What do we actually know about this curse? I mean, they say that they're cursed. I guess he, you know, was researching this curse in order to lift it. I mean, now we've read about it a couple times, but we don't really know. I feel like we know nothing. All right, then.
Very good.
Jay Magadan, shall we go back to Punchin's house and look around some more?
Absolutely.
If you want another set of eyes, always happy to come and help.
Certainly. Oswald, what are you going to do?
Well, I can always come with you as well. I can only sit and drink so many scotches at the club. Yeah, I'll come with you as well.
Oswald, are you going to keep reading the diary as you make your way through the day?
Yeah, I guess I'll keep reading it, you know, on drives over there. Just sure. Keep plugging along.
Sounds great. All right, so it sounds like the team is headed over back to Punchian's house. Roger, are you doing anything in particular?
I will be enjoying drinks and cigars at the club and pondering my approach to Punchian when I return to the asylum tomorrow.
He takes exception to the idea that you can't sit around all day drinking whiskeys.
Hold my whiskey. Yeah. Okay.
I know. I am preparing.
You can meet with the graduate student, too.
Study and thought to be done.
Yeah, Montgomery, what are you up to?
graduate students. Good Lord.
I will continue with the translation of the book. Try to read it, make notes. I will invest my time there.
All right. All right, so I'll leave the two of you at the club for a bit. You realize it's going to take a bit to read this book. Like, it's not an afternoon read. It's thick and dense, and translating it, it's weeks, not days, or hours to read this.
Okay. Thing. All right. Yeah, I'll do that then. And when I'm not doing something more important at the time.
Sounds good. All right, Team Punchian, you go back to his flat.
Yes.
You have the keys. That's not a problem. Oswald, go ahead and give me another luck roll, I guess.
Fifty-eight is not going to be a success.
Perfect. Yeah. And the flat is the same as when you were there before.
Are we being followed?
I don't know. Why don't you give spot hidden?
Try. I'm trying to get paranoid.
I don't see anyone following us.
I don't see anybody, but I'm so paranoid. I think I see somebody because I failed my roll.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't see anybody.
But they're definitely there.
While everybody's being paranoid, Heathcliff, do you want to look around as another pair of eyes?
Yes, I do. And okay, so 89, not a very good set of eyes.
Did anybody succeed, Dame Agatha?
No, not at all.
Your last hope would be Oswald. I don't know. Hope seems extreme, but anyway. No. I mean, that like, nope, you didn't see it. You're dead is not what I'm going with. This. All right. Yeah, again, it's got a blood stain in the middle of the living room area. Kitchen, bathroom, bedroom. Books and papers and newspaper and journals and maps everywhere. Almanacs over to the side, coffee cups and cigarette butts and side plates with food that, you know, looks like it's in the last processes of being broken down.
What about in his office at the British Museum? I mean, if this was a museum artifact, he might have. That's why he transcribed, so he could come home and translate.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he has, he says he has an office at the British Museum.
You'd think if he were translating, we would find notes of all of that lying around.
True.
Well, I'll look for, I guess I'm looking for a scroll of some sort. Or a scroll case, a tube.
Sure. Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
But I'm distracted by this very nice vase. And it doesn't look like there's a scroll inside the vase. I do believe this was made in the 1600s. Fascinating.
If I am permitted a spot hidden roll.
Oh, you're all a set of eyes. You're all permitted spot hidden rolls, of course.
I did get an extreme.
Okay.
10.
You are quite sure there are no scrolls here, but you do find a scroll tube. And it seems to be immediately just underneath the chair. That's the blood stain on the carpet. It's just underneath the chair, as if there might have been a scroll here at one point, But there's nothing inside the tube.
I see. Perhaps we should invite our new friend to tea or something to see if he knows something about it.
I'm sorry, there are like 80,000 NPCs. Who's your new friend?
I assume it's our dude from the...
Oh, right. Children of Tranquility. Guy.
Children, yeah.
Azar. Tranquility. Mr. Udine.
Got it.
We don't have any friends. I mean, I guess maybe in his office, if he took something, there might be, or the woman in charge of the artifacts might have a note of him checking something out into his office for study. And so at least we would know the name of it.
Yeah.
So off to the museum?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Back at the club, Roger ponders. Montgomery, what you're able to get from sort of your reading through, it just seems to be, there's an author's note that indicates that this is a transcription of the only known writings of Sargon of Akkad, A-K-K-A-D, and it's related to the religious beliefs of the ancient Sumerians.
Okay. I'll make a note.
Okay. Headed to the museum. Oswald, do you want to give me another luck roll?
Sure, why not?
Eventually this ends.
92. 92 is a no.
Not anytime soon, but... you all arrive over. I assume you've all been piling into Heathcliff's car.
Sure.
Why don't you all give me spot hidden rolls as you leave the apartment?
Success
here as well.
Failure here.
Those of you who are leaving, over as you're getting into the car, over in the cover of some trees from a small public garden across the road, you see that there is somebody looking at you, looking at the apartment. He has a crimson scarf or something like that around his neck. And as you collectively make eye contact, he turns and starts to walk away.
Should we go after him?
Sure.
As I take off?
Yeah, sure.
Well, how about to follow?
All right, go ahead and give me spot hidden rolls.
So many lovely distractions.
that one is a regular success.
Yes. Thank you, Max.
I got a hard success.
He got an extreme success, which allows him to sort of dip into a crowd and disappear.
I think we've lost him. Heathcliff's looking around.
Well, I guess that's good enough. Any of you recognize him?
Did we? I don't think so. I didn't.
I didn't recognize him, no, but he... this is a tricky part of all this. He looked like he was perhaps Middle Eastern.
Okay. Which only brings him down to one of 17 groups that
exactly are interested. You're headed to the museum. You arrive at the museum. Who are you seeking out at the museum?
I feel like we're seeking out Punchin's office, right?
Right. We should speak with Ms. Leslie. Okay. She was the one who was kind of in charge of the artifact. She might know what he was working on or have checked something out to him.
Yes.
Ms. Leslie. Do you mean Audrey? Audrey Leicester?
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong person.
Where in the notes are you looking?
Leslie does not. Oh, Ms. Leslie at museum and get William's address. How do we? Page 34 at the top. We speak with Miss Leslie at museum and get Williams's address.
Oh, so that's what's going on, is that somebody put in the wrong name.
Okay.
Oh.
Let me just put in the old right name here.
Oh, wow, good old Lester. That's so close to Leslie. Very good. But yeah, that's exactly who we mean, obviously.
Yes, of course. She, you know, you get to the front desk and ask to speak to her. She, there's a little back and forth, and eventually, you know, oh yes, just come back. And she brings you back to her office and says, "Oh, how can I help you?"
Well, after we helped find the person who is pilfering items from your storage, we were looking into other things, and we heard about poor Mr. Punchin's unfortunate accident. And we were wondering what he was working on. Maybe we could see his office. We think that there might be a group involved. They seemed very interested in this whole area.
Yes.
I can take you to his cubby area.
That would be lovely.
She will get up and lead you through the maze of rooms and such, and eventually you get to there's just sort of this row of small little offices that look wide enough for maybe not Roger, but a normal person to sort of step inside of and, you know, work by themselves. And he has one, and there's a collection of books there. Mostly related to, you know, Nineveh and that history and such. But it's just books. There are no notes or anything in it.
Bizarre. And I assume we've spent some time sort of shuffling through stuff, or is that just on the first look?
No, that's going through the whole thing. There's no spot hidden. It's not big enough for a spot hidden.
I have a question.
For me?
Yeah, or you or the group. So Mr. Punchin, which did he go on one of these digs? Expeditions? Or was he just the translator for what they brought back?
I thought he had gone on
one of them. So perhaps we should get all of the names.
Member of expedition committed to Bethlehem.
Okay, then maybe we should get all the names from this last expedition and investigate them, because they're probably, if there's a curse, they're all cursed, and we're just going to find them one by one piecemeal, and that seems ridiculous.
Yeah, good plan, bud.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Is there a way for us to research that?
There absolutely is. And I'm trying to find where that information was. Because I think at one point I did tell you who was on the expedition. So what you do know is at one point, looking through Thompson's journal, which you'll recall you stole from his office many moons ago, there was a roster of the 1919 expedition.
Excellent.
And it's you went through and sort of realized that there were only three. There's Thompson himself, and then the only remaining three were a Terence McAvoy, who you met, or whose body Roger met. Mm-hmm. There was Peter Simpkin, mm-hmm. who some of you met. And then the last name was Willard Punchian, with a vague address in West Suffolk.
And do we know what's happened to Simpkin?
You met Simpkin. He was insane.
That's what I thought. He was in a house, and I think Roger and somebody went and spoke with him, and he was very paranoid about letting people to come into the house.
Yep.
And then we asked
Roger for police protection. Him out. Yep. And Roger had him committed to Bedlam, of all places.
Yeah.
Which was what Roger needed to get a little Sandy. And do the right thing, of course. But yes, those are the only, other than Thompson himself, those are the only three expedition members that you're aware of.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Those are the only three expedition members who are alive, based on Thompson. And I don't say that, sorry, let me be clear. Those are the only three expedition members that are alive, based on all available information. I don't want to say based on Thompson to make you go, all right, there's something else going on. There's not anything else going on here.
Well, I think there is. I think that Thompson seems to be the only one who so far seems untouched by this, but also was the one leading the expedition, and perhaps he did this on purpose, and why, and what is protecting him. I mean, we did go into his, I didn't go into his office. We went to see him. I mean, am I off?
We had the same thought before, right?
Well, I think that's...
He was the one who was just like, oh, everything's normal. And meanwhile, everyone else is getting killed and robbed from and whatever. So.
Right.
There was suspicion before, but it didn't seem to go anywhere. Or we never followed up on it enough.
Yeah, maybe we didn't follow up on it enough.
But, It's this... Yeah, this curse is... I mean, I'm I'm certainly more willing to believe that it might be real than I was before, as opposed to somebody just, you know, making trouble and other people interpreting it as a curse. We've certainly seen some things now that make no sense.
Let's stake out his house.
Yeah, that does seem... I mean, that's just a little time. Why not? It's not like we have anything else to rush and do.
It is what are the, no problem at all to find his address, if you're interested in finding his address.
The books are completely uninteresting, just to wrap this piece up.
Which books are those?
The books that Punchin has been looking at the museum.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be general history books. There's nothing sort of
right, okay.
Overtly occult or anything about that, about them.
And not specifically related to curses or rituals, right, or any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we may as well do that.
Okay. I'm not even going to make you roll, Oswald. At this point, you know, during the stakeout, assuming you're going there or whatever, you find a section of the diary from about a week ago, or week before the last entry, that says he writes about two strange men approaching him at the museum. They spoke with French accents. And told him that their employer would like to meet with him regarding his translation of the Scrolls of Endless Shadow. No one outside, and he's writing this like, nobody, how could anybody know about those scrolls? And so I just denied I knew anything about it, at which point the Frenchman reacted angrily and said in a threatening tone, "Then, monsieur, you'll be seeing our employer sooner than you think."
Oh, that is interesting. No names, however.
No names are offered.
Either the employer or the... And no information about where the supposed meeting was, you know, where they requested him to go or anything like that.
No, they basically, from his note, it seems he was leaving the museum. These two men approached him and said, you know, our boss wants to talk to you about this thing. He denied such a thing existed.
Right. And they said, okay, well,
we'll get you. Okay, well, we're going to do this the hard way.
Well, yes, perhaps this is something we should ask our friend, Mr. Udin, about. If we can contact him. He did not. I feel like we asked him for ways to contact us and for us to contact him, and he was sort of that, oh, I'll be in touch. But perhaps
just so.
Perhaps we can put an ad in the paper. He will be in touch. I'll go do that.
All right, so you're putting an ad in the paper, and then are all of you just sort of camping out in front of Thompson's house for a bit?
Probably in shifts.
Fair enough. And is this intended to be a 24-hour watch of the house, going in shifts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the first day, at some point in the late afternoon, not quite the hours that a full worker would use, but nevertheless, a taxi pulls up in front of his house, and you see Thompson jump out and head into his house. Maybe an hour and a half or so pass, and he walks out again. He is wearing much nicer clothes, go out on the town type clothes, starts to hail a taxi. Gets in the taxi.
Perhaps one of us should find a taxi. Are there, there's enough of them to follow?
Oh, yes. He's in a nice part of town where, you know, taxi drivers hope to get patrons.
I'm a little bored. I will I will ask the a taxi driver to follow my friend here, who's forgot to give me the address of where we're supposed to dine. I was just a little late.
Does anybody think that they would be more likely than others to have been on the same shift with Dame Agatha? Or are you guys doing single shifts? What's your...
I think Heathcliff would have stayed around with Dame Agatha.
Okay. Are you also jumping in a taxi with her?
I mean, we've got a car. I'll jump in the taxi.
All right. Eventually it stops in front of the Travelers Club, which is located at Waterloo Place on Pall Mall. Dame Agatha, you used to be quite rich, yes?
No, I'm working on it. I will soon be quite rich.
Oh, well then.
And I guess you're right. No, as my parents were quite rich. That is true.
Yes. You certainly know about the Travelers Club. It is for the upper class. If there's tiers, you know, the Wentworth Club is perfectly fine, but this is where the more snooty folk go.
Okay.
And he jumps out and walks inside.
Well, perhaps we should see who else arrives. Perhaps somebody is meeting with him here. See if we recognize anyone. I say to Heathcliff.
Yeah, well, Heathcliff will get out. Yeah, and just sort of glance around, looking around. Do you want to? I mean, neither of us can really go into that place.
No, I was thinking we would wait outside and, you know, see who appears.
Yeah, well, Heathcliff will basically get himself probably just across the road and lean up and have a cigarette.
Sounds great. Maude and Oswald, I assume at some point you show up to replace them. They're not there. You're going to continue to watch the house?
Hmm.
Well, the only one surprised that Gary missed out on a chance to break into someone's house.
To burn it down?
Well, I guess we'll just be on watch.
Okay. You have a very slow watch. Nobody else comes to the front door. You don't, and you. I'll even give you. You're in a good enough vantage point to be able to see. There's nobody coming in the back door either. It's
even time. Do we see the servants?
Yes, as there are lights in the windows, you see people walking around inside, yes.
Watch and wait.
Okay. Agatha and Heathcliff, there are people who come in. There are people you look at and go, I've seen their picture before. Where have I seen it? Oh, yes, they're this important person or that important person. You don't see anybody who tells. Yeah, please.
In terms of this place, what sort of credit rating is it? Sort of. You said this is for the upper class.
Yes, well-connected upper class.
Well, Got a chance that Heathcliff may know someone. I mean, I do have a credit rating of 60. I may have someone in my group chance. Circle. Who...
You know, you want to roll a luck roll to see if you've see somebody you know?
But nobody that has some connection to the case we have not seen.
Yes. You haven't, you know, you haven't seen anybody from the British Museum you've met showing up, or you know, Lady Isabella, who briefly had the tablets, or any of those other right. cast of characters you've met through time. None of the collectors of antiquities, like Smiley.
Probably like a former colonel or something like that, you know, from the army. 02, by the way.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you definitely see, let's say, somebody who you served with. That makes sense.
I'll sort of go, I guess I'll come with me quickly. Colonel, fancy meeting you here.
Oh, yes, this is Hamilton, how are you doing? Yes,
I'm doing well. This is my friend, Dame Agatha.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Pleasure's all mine. How are you keeping yourself?
Oh, not too bad since coming back from Africa. Pretty good, actually.
You rolled an extreme?
02. Sorry.
Yeah. Come inside. It's drafty out here. Come inside. We'll get a drink.
Thank you.
Please. Dame Agatha, come. You'll hold the door for her.
Very nice.
Yep. We'll head in.
And we'll lead you in. It's a very posh place. There's nothing wrong with the Wentworth Club again, but this place is a chandelier in the front area, much, much more cozy. And he leads you around to a bar type area. And, what are you drinking? What are you drinking?
I'll have some tea, thank you.
Oh, well. Tea.
A port for me.
Well, and he'll turn to the bartender and make the orders for you. It says, "Well, what brings you around this neck of the woods?"
Well, and I sort of look to Agatha. Basically, we've been sort of doing some work for the British Museum.
Oh. Splendid. I love it when people leave the service and they go back and keep doing good work for the public. Good for you, lad. Good for you.
Yes, there's been these quite some interesting coincidences, I guess. People up to strange things and and frankly, things going missing from the museum and
Don't like to hear about that. Well, you're recovering things. Excellent.
Yes, they are things that were initially discovered by Mr. Thompson. I think you are.
Thompson. Where,
do you know him?
Oh, he's right over there. Thompson, come here, sir. Zero two. I feel like, you know, you get a lot of mileage on that. Yeah. And which of you, if not both of you, were in his office?
Wow. That's a question from months ago.
Yeah.
I feel like I might have been. Let's see. Thompson. One of the leaders. Neither King Thompson. Give an appointment.
I don't think I was.
No idea. Oh, here we go. The group obtains an interview with Reginald Thompson. Agatha, Connor, Oswald, and Montgomery.
All right, so he has not met Heathcliff yet.
He's not met Heathcliff, correct.
Yeah, right. But he has met you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, damn Agatha, I haven't seen you for some time. You visit here, and I don't believe I have made your acquaintance, sir, which says looking at Heathcliff.
Heathcliff. Heathcliff Hamilton.
Oh.
And he will get up and shake his hand.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes, well, he's just here, seems to be doing some work at the museum, talking about missing exhibits and whatnot. You they said they've worked from one of your expeditions. I'm going to avoid that thing where the keeper talks to himself for a while. So go jump right in there, Dame.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yes. What's this colonel's name? Do we have a name for him? The colonel was just, we were just telling the colonel that that we have been sort of following up on some of the things that you rescued, and that they have been, that some of them have gone missing, and there seem to be all sorts of, and I'm sort of obviously trying to watch and see how he's reacting to this, if it's, you know, if he's sort of like, you know, don't talk about this, or if it seems like a surprise to him, or if it's just kind of, you know, looking like a normal conversation. But if, what, yeah, there seems to be just a lot of, oh, I guess I would say bad luck and bad actors, working around this, your wonderful collection, the secret collection.
So I think that's what we talked about when we were in office. Yes, it's, I know that Longton has tried to increase security, and he did mention that you were all involved in shutting down one of the porters there who were selling things off. So thank you for that good service. There's a lot of artifacts and a lot of people throwing around a lot of money. But do you want to give me a psychology roll here?
Yes, yeah, so I have a normal success on psychology.
He seems to, what are you looking for? He doesn't seem to be lying to you in any way.
Right, no, he's obviously not lying. I am, I'm pushing towards all the other stuff, you know, the fact that two of the members of his trip are now in an asylum.
So you're going to start talking about that too. Okay.
Well, that's sort of the nefarious events, the unfortunate events that are surrounding the, yeah. Yes, definitely. And the people getting killed and yeah.
Yes, yes. It's and he will look at the general and say, well, I of course we can't put any stock into curses and whatnot. We're all God fearing people with can't believe in curses and whatnot, but it's been hard. Punchian was a good friend of mine. It was very sad when I had to have him committed.
Oh, you had him committed?
Yes, yes. The police contacted me, and I arranged for him to get to stay in the hospital. I'm not to be immodest, but I'm making sure that he gets the best care possible.
Oh, wonderful. We have been one of our own has visited him.
Oh, good, 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 good. Willard is just a wonderful man. Just quiet, dependable. It's really what you want when you're out about in the field. Someone who's going to be cautious. You need to be careful.
I guess this is a question for Jim. If I'm remembering correctly, Willard, was rather grumpy with Thompson about taking things or the wrong things or something like that. I warned him. I don't remember because we didn't take any notes on this, but does that ring a bell with you, Jim? And have you told us about it, more importantly?
I don't recall that.
Okay, maybe I'm making it up.
Mentioned particularly complaining about Thompson.
Was it the? I thought, I have some memory of a conversation of like, you know, people shouldn't be messing.
I think some of the others did. I think like Simpkin.
Okay.
Had an issue with that.
So I'll turn the conversation. If he seems like he's sort of on the up and up on all of this, I'll say, Thompson, do you know a group called the Children of Tranquility? Have they been in touch with you?
I'm aware of the group. Yes, we had encounters with them during the expedition. They are a fairly violent, extreme group, yes. Well, I have not had any contact with them recently. I assume they're still back guarding Nineveh.
Oh, they're very much here as well.
Go ahead and give me a psychology roll.
That time, ooh, that's a success also.
You definitely see a look of fear on his face.
Good.
Curious, did Dame Agatha or Heathcliff read the journal? Roger's journal.
I mean, I remember that there was a violent thing that happened at the deal there.
I think Heathcliff did read the journal.
So what you'll remember is that as they were getting ready to leave, a group attacked them,
and yeah,
several members of the expedition died there, and that Thompson barely got out alive with Brightman and some of the others.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was assuming, that that violence in this group and the, yeah.
Right, so you're saying like, oh, they're in London right now, definitely good. Evokes a reaction from him.
Okay, and I'll ask him, they're obviously not, that's quite confusing, French, but do you know of a French group that is also attempting to recover or steal?
French group.
Yes.
Not that I can think of. It's interesting.
It appears that your friend, Punchin, was contacted by some Frenchmen who also seem to be hunting down some of these relics.
Huh. Well, obviously there are Frenchmen who are archaeologists, but I'm unaware of any that would threaten Punchin.
Yes, these were apparently some French thugs, if you will.
Huh. Well, I don't know. I don't know who that would be. I'll let you hold on to your psychology role. He again seems to be saying the truth.
Okay, yeah.
Punchin was he was a real friend. I don't know what to do. Those scrolls, though, he just seemed so obsessed with those scrolls.
Yes, it was the scrolls that the Frenchmen were interested in. What do you know about them?
Oh, Willard was always better at the languages than I was.
Do you have them?
No, my understanding is that they couldn't find them. They found a tube. The police said that they found a tube.
Yes.
I asked about them. The police said they found a tube, but it was their belief that he must have destroyed the scrolls, which doesn't make any sense at all. He was fascinated by them.
What do you know about them? What did he tell you?
Well, he said that when we first found them and I was starting to unroll them, he told me to stop because he had noticed something about a dread warning in the text. I don't know, he got obsessed by it. He'd come to the museum with them. He'd just spend time sort of writing in those notebooks of his, trying to figure out what they said. Apparently there's some sort of key or something he was working on. It doesn't, it's almost in a code of sorts, but he, you know, he just looked at language and they were, the words just popped out at him. He just was a brilliant man, a brilliant man. It's a tragedy of him being committed.
Yes.
But in any case, took the scrolls home, and maybe if I hadn't done that, maybe he'd still be with us.
Perhaps we'll bring him back to us at some point. But he never said what was in them, or whether he was afraid of them, or in love with them, or excited about them.
No, he just talked about them having some sort of... he felt that they represented a danger, which, for me... He looks at the general here. Once I sense there's a danger in something, I tend not to sort of leap forward into it. But he kept going with it. I do say this. I don't believe he would destroy the scrolls. I mean, he was obsessed by them, and in an unhealthy way. I can't see how he would do that.
I'm sure it's this group represented by the Frenchmen, unless it's the Children of Tranquility.
Yeah, just so. You think they may have picked up the scrolls? Interesting.
I do. I will find out.
Well, I mean, and he will pull out a card. You know, please, if you ever need my assistance in anything, you know, any of my contacts, please do not hesitate to reach out. It's the least I can do for my old friend.
Well, thank you. We may need you yet. It's quite a tangled web.
Well, just so. Well, it's just about dinner time.
Agatha suddenly remembers that the replacements came like an hour ago. To the house. I'll turn to Heathcliff. Yes, we really must be going. I think we have I think we are keeping a party waiting for dinner. Thank you, General. It was very kind of you to invite us in, and Thompson, it was wonderful to see you again.
Excellent, and nice to meet you, Mr. Hamilton.
And thank you very much, Colonel, for bringing us in here. It has been a pleasure to catch up with you.
Good, sir. Keep up the good work. General slaps you on the shoulder and turns away to head off to dinner.
We will rush back to the house.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to wavy line a little bit.
Thank goodness you're all right.
Yes, we followed Thompson, and he went to his club, and we spoke with him at length there, and either he's the world's best poker player, or we have nothing to fear from him, except his lack of foresight, and I will sort of share the whole conversation.
It's rather troubling about Mr. Udine and his group being violent thugs.
Yes, I wonder about that too. Perhaps if he contacts us based on the ad, we'll be able to get some clarity on that. I don't imagine necessarily he would deny it if that is what they did to keep the artifacts. And of course, it may not be the correct. We only have one version of the story, of course.
Right, if you're trying to keep people from getting into things that they shouldn't, you might behave thuggishly in their own best interest, unbeknownst to them.
It's even possible that they were attacked. Who knows who the aggressors were, but yes. Yes. Hopefully he'll get in touch with us.
No. I'm sure Roger's waiting for us for dinner.
Perhaps, yes. Or at least he is still dining.
Narrator voice, Roger didn't wait.
uh,
Yes, I think that Montgomery and Roger have a pleasant dinner together, and at some point you all show up, because dinner is always around the same time at all these clubs. Does anybody else want to do anything else tonight?
So we've called off the stakeout, sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah?
I think so.
We just like dinner.
All right, it's the next morning. What are we all doing?
I will be returning to the asylum to meet with Mr. Punchin again.
Excellent. Excellent.
Stones in hand.
Stones so in hand. Did we did find yet. About... Go ahead, Max.
Go ahead, Randall.
So we did...
You go, Randall.
All right. So we found out who was with the pension, right, at the asylum.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, Randall just left in a huff. Let's go to Max.
So did I ever get through reading this journal?
You did. And 3 hours passed, which is why you're the reading the whole thing takes 3 hours, which is why you were able to get to the part that talked about the Frenchman threatening him.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Otherwise, again, this go ahead and give me a psychology roll. Okay. All right. Randall, okay. you were starting to say something before you left the house?
Yes.
Good.
Sorry. So we found out who was the other guy that was at the asylum with...
Lewis Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we didn't find address for him, or did we?
Find a what
last
for him?
Time? An address for him, yeah.
Oh, you didn't go looking for one, as far as I know. I think you just sort of remembered that he was a fairly famous artist at one point.
Okay. So if that is the case, then I will try to find his address the next day or today.
Okay. That's great. Roger, you're headed to the hospital?
Correct.
What are other people doing?
Maybe I'll investigate French society, French.
Just stop there. Investigate the French.
Yeah, the French. Well, I was thinking archaeology trips that have been to Nineveh, or that kind of thing, just to see if I can't. Try to locate this group.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
If I speak
I'll join
no
you
French. Okay.
I speak French. I'll join you. That'll be excellent.
Okay.
Is this a library trip, you think, or some other?
It is a library trip.
Yeah, library.
Okay, yeah. That seems great.
Oswald, what do you want to do?
Oh, I'm not so good at library stuff. I guess I'll go with just in case.
Okay. Heathcliff?
So we've got The group go to the library and what else? Sorry.
A singular entity unto himself going to the hospital.
I'll go to the hospital then.
Okay. And Montgomery, what are you up to today?
Library to look for the
address. Oh, his address. Sorry, thank you. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So,
Library is City Hall, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give me a library use. Everybody who's going to the library.
Is a hard success.
Okay.
I have a regular success.
91.
Failure. Yeah, with a 94.
All right. So you sort of do some research into Wayne, and it's not that he's... he doesn't live in London is what you do sort of figure out. Because you sort of look through the various London directories and don't sort of find him or anything of that sort. Just sort of clearing that somebody doesn't live in London at this time is probably a pretty long effort. But we had both Dame Agatha and Maud succeeded in looking for sort of French.
Yes.
The French.
We find the French. It's this country just a little bit east of us. Oh my
There's
God.
A lot of information on the French.
No.
What specifically, Maud, were you looking for?
French archaeological expeditions to Nineveh, maybe.
French. I think I was looking more into French, yeah, criminal groups or terrorist groups, something like that.
So there have been French archaeological groups to Nineveh. When it was discovered, you know, lots of people sort of showed up there. There isn't anything in particular about them that make you say, you know, wow, well, these are definitely the people that we're looking for. What you are, and so Dame Agatha, you're looking into French criminal activities and such. I mean,
So maybe, you know, some newspaper articles about a French group similar to the Children of Tranquility, you know, some story that combines French violence and artifacts.
And how well did you roll?
I had a hard success. 18 out of, hard success.
So what you get, it's not in any of the normal newspapers. It's not, you know, the Times or anything like that. It's you happen to glance through one of the, you know, archaeologists had at that point little journals they would write back and forth on communications of so-and-so and back and forth. At some point, and you can get the names of the people that do this, who are involved in this, but there are people who are sort of talking about there's an increasingly number of robberies, and when the police bring the people in, they seem to be French. And someone's wondering if the French are trying to, you know, if French criminals are trying to steal artifacts from good, hardworking Englishmen who stole it first.
So these robberies are from English collectors or yes. English museums or okay.
Yeah, they seem to be based in England. And then, you know, there's various, you know, the normal conspiracy theories about these things. You know, oh, it's the French are stealing from the English because they're jealous. Oh, it's actually they're being hired by some Moriarty-type figure who's, you know, the archaeological equivalent of the boogeyman type thing. There's nothing conclusive. There's no, like, well, it's this gang here, you know, La Dégenerance archaeologists type thing going on like that. But there's definitely rumors. There's people who are knee-deep in this definitely feel like there's something going on.
Oh, I guess we should go speak with our friendly detective who asked us to come speak with him anytime we needed information from the police world.
I concur.
All right, Roger, you are there with Heathcliff?
Yes. Mr. Hamilton, perhaps you should wait out here. Mr. Pynchon's sanity is on the brink. Want to
disturb him with
someone unprofessional, untrained in such matters.
I will stay close just in case you need me. But I won't go in the room.
So those are two different sentences. you should stay out here. I will stay close are different sentences.
The waiting room will be close enough. Thank you. I will not need you.
Okay. Well, all
right. So you are all let into your
famous last words.
Yes, you are outside in the, there's a sort of large area for greeting people. Dr. Alan Lawrence will come back out again. Oh, it's just so wonderful again for you to have come back here, Mr. Schneidler. It's a real pleasure to you.
Yes, it is.
He will introduce himself to you, Heathcliff. And if you're not going into the area of care, this is where you'll wait, Heathcliff. And there's some perfectly lovely benches here.
Sure, Heathcliff will go and sit down at a bench and light up a cigarette and wait.
And Alan Lawrence, oh yes, we're very excited to hear what you do. I have to say I'm wondering, are you okay with meeting him alone?
Oh, yes, of course. There will not be any trouble. You need to worry yourself on that account.
Oh. Well, then, and he will bring you through. He'll sort of get you through the guards that are there. And it's that room right there, and room six. And come find me when you're done. I'll be interested to hear what you find out.
Of course, yes. I shall certainly share the entirety of my thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. Just open the door, walk in.
Pretty much.
All right, so it's a weird scene as you walk in. First of all, Lewis Wayne is standing in a corner holding a pillow. Punchian is on his bed holding his shoulder, which is bleeding. And there is a fairly large man with a knife who, when you walk in, looks at you. And, what's your dex as we go into combat?
My dex is 30.
30. Okay. He is going to try to stab you.
Orderly! Would you like
to dodge or fight back?
Let's see. That will actually be a fighting back.
Excellent.
Which I fail at.
Well, don't tell me yet. I haven't rolled. Oh. But hold on. I'm not going to have a 10s in there. Okay. Well, that's good. That's a 90. He also fails. Okay. He tries to stab at you with his knife. Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
All the things I'm so good at. No, that's a failure.
Maybe you can talk him down.
You know what? I'll give you advantage on this one.
Oh, that's going to help so much. No, it does not.
Okay. It is your turn. What would you like to do?
So the door is still open.
Yes, the door is still open.
Now, was the door unlocked before? The doctor just sent me down. Go down there.
Yeah, this is the nice wing. The doors aren't locked here.
People. Okay.
But they are large and they are soundproof because people don't like hearing other patients.
Yeah. Sure. I haven't closed the door behind.
I don't imagine you have. Yeah.
Walked in, see this. He lunges at me. I will step back out into the hall and call for the orderlies.
All right. That seems fine. He will then push by you and begin to make his way down the hall further into the facility.
Further in.
Yes.
Okay.
Quick question. So when he called out, could I have possibly heard?
No. You're some distance away. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You're just sitting there calmly, the trained military man, while Roger faces this alone.
As long as he's running away, I will still call for the orderlies, and then head into the room. And I believe you said Mr. Wayne was just with a pillow, so he's fine, right? So Pynchon is the one that is injured.
He is injured and seems to be in a great deal of distress, more than you might expect with just a stab wound.
Well, probably from being attacked. I can certainly understand that. Mr. Pynchon.
Go ahead and give me a medicine. Do you have medicine or first aid?
I have both of those things.
Go ahead and give me medicine.
No, I fail.
Yes, go ahead. Please keep going. Sorry, you were starting to say something, but I interrupted you.
Are you all right?
It hurts so much. It burns.
Allow me to assist you. I shall attempt first aid. Poorly, as it turns out. The order has shown up yet?
It's all happening in 6-second increments. So.
I don't know if Call of Cthulhu is necessarily 6 seconds.
No, I know. Why don't we have Heathcliff? Why don't you give me a spot hidden?
A spot hidden.
Yes, please.
Okay. 46. It's a fail.
Okay.
Excuse me.
There's a great deal of commotion going on, you now realize. People are running around, and yes.
He will definitely get up and sort of start heading out, going, what's going on? What's happening?
And as you look out the window, because this is nothing but windowed here, you see there's people outside, and there's an unusual sight as a man sort of flings himself, seems to have a rope, flings himself over the wall that surrounds the hospital. A little picture in the notes, if you like that sort of thing. Yes, orderlies arrive, Roger. They somewhat briskly push you out of the way. Begin to do treatment. At this point, Lawrence arrives and says, well, what's going on here? What's going on?
Some man broke into the hospital and attacked Mr. Pynchon with a knife. He may have been poisoned.
Well, at least Jim can pass his medicine rolls. Yes. Oh no. This, and they sort of leap into action here. Alan sort of grabs you by the arm and says, "We need to come to my office. We'll need to interrogate you. And question you."
Yes, of course. Once Mr. Pynchon has been seen to, and Mr. Wayne, are you quite all right, sir?
Wayne is just holding his pillow and mumbling to himself something about cats.
Ah, perfectly fine then. Well, yes, Doctor, at your convenience, sir.
Yeah, and eventually he brings you in, and eventually there is a knock on the door, and a what's just happened there? And a tall, distinguished man walks in. Yes, I'm Inspector George Lennox. I understand you were here when the incident happened.
Directly afterwards, I should say, rather than during.
Just so. Can you tell me in your own words what you saw?
I entered the room. The assailant was standing with a knife. It appeared, though I did not see it, that he had recently cut or stabbed Mr. Pynchon, causing some amount of bleeding. Mr. Pynchon complaining about a burning sensation. The man then pushed past me and fled into the hospital.
And what brings you here?
Mr. Pynchon, of course. I am a psychologist of some note, and the case is rather fascinating, and I met with Mr. Pynchon yesterday and wished to meet with him again to discuss his state of mind and the case, and perhaps see if he can be, if I can be of some assistance to the gentleman.
He taps his pipe a bit. So, do you regularly find interesting patients here and come and look into things?
No, there are very, very rare are there interesting patients.
Interesting. Well, it just seems everything you've said matches what we've heard so far. I'll call it speculation. Any thoughts on why somebody might want to kill Mr. Pynchon?
No, I am certain that I do not.
Do you think that's true? I'm curious. I'm asking. Like, I'm trying to figure out if that's some role. Because you just said, I'm certain I'm not. I guess I'll ask you as a player, do you think that Roger has any idea why someone might want to kill him?
I think Roger Roger would have some suspicion that, certainly people are being attacked in various different ways. And Pynchon is attached to all that. So while it is not particularly surprising that he may be attacked, certainly, Roger doesn't have any, clearly this group or, this person is after him and trying to kill him. So what he said is, by the book, true.
Okay, that's fine.
Certainly not the entirety of the truth.
Fair enough. okay. Sin of omission. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, good.
For this one.
So I talked myself out of a fast talk.
Yeah.
Yes.
You rode well and you're persuading the keeper. How's that?
Whew.
Yeah, because I don't know what your stats are in, but apparently they're not in fast talk either, I guess.
You are quite correct.
Did you just put all your points into culinary sampling, or anyway?
Roger's not that well educated either, so he didn't have that many points to splash around.
All right, so there's a bit of back and forth. There's obviously some commotion, and Alan Lawrence, you know, is very apologetic. You know, oh, I can't believe this happened here. I'm so sorry that you were in any sort of danger. We'll definitely be reviewing our security procedures. Apparently, there was a window that got broken. We'll definitely be sealing that off, and you know. If you still are interested, we'd love to sort of have you continue to work with Mr. Puccione. His sponsor here wants us to spare no efforts. And...
Oh, very much so, very much so. I would still like to speak with Mr. Puccione. How is the gentleman after the attack?
He'll live. You were correct. There was some sort of poison in his system, but he seems to be. Seems to be surviving.
Have you identified the type of poison?
Not
assailant in London using a poison blade? Very fanciful.
Very, very much so. It's also some novel, but no, we don't know yet. But he definitely. If you hadn't walked in when you did, he definitely wouldn't have survived.
Well, I'm happy to be of service.
But please let me know when you'd like to come back again, and we'll arrange another visit.
Is Mr. Pynchon recuperating?
I wouldn't say now would be a good time, but if you wanted to come back this evening or tomorrow morning, those would probably be fine.
Tomorrow morning will be sufficient.
Very well. He will shake your hand firmly and whisk you out the door.
Mr. Hamilton, I trust your wait has not been completely unpleasant.
What happened? The orderly just started running around like crazy. There was this, and he'll point out through the window, there was this guy who swung out rope on a rope over that fence over there, that wall.
Did I get any look at the assailant? Like, you know, I mean, even generally to say, oh, he looked foreign or French or...
those are the same thing, but you, again, at the risk of being culturally insensitive, you get the sense that he might have been from the Middle East.
Okay. A foreign gentleman broke into the hospital and assaulted Mr. Pynchon with a poison blade, of all things. But he was dissuaded from completing his task, and Mr. Pynchon survives. I shall come back tomorrow to meet with him. Once he has had a chance to
recuperate. Indeed, it's not good. I mean, yeah, it's terrible. And I take him. We have to go now?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Nearing lunchtime, we definitely should be going.
Yes, Heathcliff laughs at that and says, let's get back to the club then.
To lunch!
So I'm going to assume you all arrive earlier than the others are doing library work. But eventually you're all back at the club again.
Okay.
Perhaps we have invited Detective Brindlow to the club.
Oh, that seems lovely to come join us for late lunch. Yes.
Absolutely.
He absolutely accepts your invitation, knowing of the good food that is to be had there. He will make sure when you invite him over. It's lunch, though. We'll have food, right?
Of course, of course.
And he comes back again. He is, again. He's I want to be clear that we can't just be at your beck and call. But I'm curious. I haven't heard from you from a bit. I was wondering if you had any more information on the all the events you've been pursuing.
Perhaps, yes. Please enjoy your lunch first, and then we'll discuss. And eventually we'll get to this. It seems that there's a group of French criminals who have been going after artifacts of various sorts, and that they perhaps had been in touch with Mr. Punchin before his incident.
Interesting, interesting. There are definitely rumors of such a group here in the city. Various private collections have experienced break-ins. We have caught some of them. They are.
That's what I was hoping. Yes.
They are, by and large, unresponsive to threats and intimidation. Whoever it is who's leading the organization is apparently more scary than we are.
How many have you walked up?
Half dozen or so.
Wow.
I mean, there is. I mean, and it's sort of reached that point of where, you know, police officers tend to be, you know, rational thinkers and such, but there's a obviously sort of a superstitious streak in some of them. One of these captives who seemed to be on the verge of telling us something, and then he just died.
Just oh. In what fashion?
Like poison? Did
he die?
Well, it's
did he spontaneously combust?
Yes.
Oh.
Have you seen this before?
Do you find
it? And we're told it's not possible, but there you are. In fact, I don't actually think you, Maud, saw it, because I think you were whisked off.
I thought we heard about it.
Yeah, I'm sure we heard about it.
Well, so my recollection is that there was an alleyway. Maud got badly hurt.
Yes.
Was taken off to the hospital by some people, but I'm pretty sure that, and I don't know why I think Oswald was there. Oswald and maybe Montgomery were there.
Well, and this also goes back to the beginning. Neve, was researching spontaneous consumption, combustion. Spontaneous consumption we have also, but that's different. Yeah. Yeah, so we'd heard about that. Alice burst into flames. There we go. That's in her diary. Seems like some spontaneously combusts.
We woke up
So it was Connor and Heathcliff who woke up a man.
Yeah.
And he said he was hired to steal Nineveh artifacts. And it looked like he was about to say something when he suddenly spontaneously combusted.
So, yes, we have had some indirect. I've had some indirect, since I'm the one who said it.
Yeah.
Indirect evidence of this. Read about it in some journals.
Well, I don't know how much I can. I didn't see it myself, and We're told that that sort of thing can't actually happen. Large amount of investigation that eventually everybody agreed we would just stop talking about. And fascinating, though.
Terrifying.
Well, what? Anything else I can help you with?
Well, perhaps. If you could share any of these names of these collectors, we've been able to help some people in the past, and obviously we don't have your expertise, but they feel comfortable talking with us.
Yeah, so if we understood what had been taken, what in common, what types of things these are, they then they have been artifacts or more general or.
Primarily artifacts of the Syrian period, is my understanding. But I'd be happy to get you some names of some collectors, if that would be helpful.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Oh, have some dessert. The gooseberry tart is excellent.
Oh, this is George Lennox that we're with now. No, that's the one who talked to Jim. Ridlow. Okay, yeah, to Roger. Okay,
right.
Him up here. Yeah,
you're talking to the guy you met.
Ridlow. Yep.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk with him about?
No. Unless you want to talk about, seems very unlikely, Punchin.
I don't see any reason to.
Yeah.
Oh. Sounds good.
Okay. He will, after once again complimenting the chef, get up and walk out. Is there any discussion you all want to have as we close up the session?
Excited to hear what happened at the asylum.
Assume, Roger, you tell them all the things, or most of the things?
Most of the things. Warner, Poison Blade. Not much else to say. That's about
it. Not much else, yeah. I wonder if this is this not-so-tranquility group, or if there's another organization here. I do look forward to hearing from Mr. Udin. I'll see.
I wonder if we'll have any repeat collectors that we'll have to visit again.
Yes, I'm curious about that as well.
And I learned these 5 spells. Right, Sean?
What? I believe I said weeks, so yes. But you can lose 30 sanity points just for...
Accelerated reading.
You don't need to roll. I'll just take them away. All right. We will close up here then.